in the past people was very poor, right? Mm. And rich, they can eat meat every day.
Yeah.
But so they get all the poor ingredients and they try to work very hard to get the best of what they have. And now in Italy, actually, the poor dish in the past, now it become very expensive.
Is pineapple supposed to go with pizza? Yes or no?
People get very angry because they're very emotional.
Okay.
Traditional pizza is changed for so long time. People are proud and people talking about it, you know, it's like, of course it will make the food more like shiny, right?
You're leaning towards more of a protective side. So
Yeah, still protective, of course, you know, because I don't want to just like, okay, you like a different way, boom, I change everything, it's done. No, no.
Voilà, tôi là Huy Tạ và đây là Ala, một series podcast về ẩm thực, nơi mà chúng ta sẽ cùng với các khách mời trò chuyện xem về cách họ đã làm mới những món ăn như thế nào, thay đổi định kiến ẩm thực ra làm sao và những gì đã đưa họ đến với thành công. Xin mời. Trong số này, khách mời của chúng ta là một anh đầu bếp người Ý, Federico, người đã sống ở đây được 7 năm rồi. Và chúng ta sẽ thảo luận xem về cái định nghĩa của fusion food khi mà chúng ta kết hợp một loại ẩm thực từ quốc gia này với quốc gia khác, và liệu chúng ta có nên tiếp tục kết hợp nó hay không, hay chúng ta nên đi về những giá trị truyền thống của ẩm thực của đất nước nó. Federico, would you like to say hello to our audience?
Hello, hello. Xin chào mọi người, tôi là Federico, tôi ngồi đầu bếp. Tôi sống ở Việt Nam 7 năm rồi. That's it.
All right, first of all, I gotta say that your restaurant has a very interesting setting. So I walk here, it's got a little bit of tropical, you know, it's full of trees. You get a big tree right in the middle of your restaurant.
Absolutely.
and then the route is not even, it's full of rocks and stones.
Yeah.
So tell me, why do you design it this way, and then you have a place here in District 2 and in Taoding specifically?
Okay, the reason why we want to do botanical, because in Italy we love summer.
Okay.
So we like open space,
yeah,
you know, but unfortunately we have summer only 3 months a year, right?
Yeah.
So here we kind of have the summer all year round.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I decide like to open like an open concept like that, like
okay,
a patio concept.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly feels very comforting and very...
Absolutely, yeah. That's the kind of feel I want to give to people when they come in here, you know, to be like in summer in Italy.
Okay.
Only the plants is tropical because the Italian plants will not survive here. So we have to choose for different plants. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. What I'm curious about is chef a very, like, do people treat a cook, a chef in Italy, do they treat it has a very high value of occupation?
Okay, this one is a kind of a question that you can answer in different timing.
Okay.
Because in the past, chef, it was like, everyone know it was a hard job, but very well paid, you know, and then time changed when the show come. So then, you know, the show business, go inside the kitchen, there are so many like different kind of celebrity chef.
Yeah.
So youngster, they start to think that be a chef is just a cool thing to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what they do, everyone jump in the kitchen and then they burn themselves very quick because the real kitchen is quite tough.
Yeah.
Me myself, when I was young, you know, I mean, I was thinking I cannot make it, you know, because in the first 3 months I was working for like no money.
Uh-huh.
So I was working like 12 hours a day, and then I try just to end up like 12 hours a day is a lot of time in the kitchen, and I just try to survive. And after like 3 months, I think, no, I just gonna give up. Then I love this job. I love like the food. So I just keep trying and move on.
Uh-huh.
But been tough time. Yeah.
Yeah, same as me. You know, a lot of people in Vietnam, they think being a host is an easy job. They think being famous and everybody want to jump into being a host. So I understand where you're coming from. So tell me, we're having this huge feast of Italian food.
Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
And I see one of the dish that instantly got my notice is that this dish. So what is that? Tell me. I see a lot.
This one, Parma and melon. Actually, this one is very popular around Italy, and many people know around the world because when they go to Italy, summer, and this is a summer dish. Usually, we serve like the melon with a Parma ham. That is actually the pork leg that it was there is a special process to make it.
Okay,
usually,
it
can be
cured
for a long time,
yeah,
like around 24 months,
uh-huh,
and then we serve it like with. Usually, we have a balsamic sauce. You know, that can be a little bit the bitterness.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's it, you know, that's a very simple dish actually.
Okay,
you can try
that. Okay, so
you get, of course,
yeah, teach me how. Okay, do I get a
you just
little
take a little bit
of
that one and
then the melon
yes,
okay,
and then we put some balsamic sauce. Guys, can I get one balsamic sauce?
Okay, what makes Italian cuisine different from the rest of, you know, the other European cuisine?
Okay, I mean, there are some similarity in a way because Europe is north and south, you know, there is some food can be similar, like Greece, Italy and Spain. Mm-hmm. Actually, they have they're sharing the same kind of ingredients, mm-hmm. culture, you know, mm-hmm. like fresh, light, because we is a hot country compared to the north.
Yeah.
And Italy is special in a way because imagine that in the past people was very poor, right? Mm. And rich, they can eat meat every day.
Yeah.
But the other one, no. So they get all the poor ingredients and they try to work very hard and, I mean, to get the best of what they have. So with a simple fact, like imagine this one. This one is a peachy. This one just water and flour.
Okay.
So imagine like it costs nothing, right?
Yeah.
But you know they need a lot of time to produce because they have to do one by one.
Yeah.
But then the result is really good.
Probably the same thing with Vietnamese cuisine too, because you
kind
said
of,
that people have like from because they're very poor, they're trying to make the best out of what they have.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the Vietnamese, we have the rice. We make rice out of everything. Well,
yeah.
Like banjang, rice
correct.
Paper, pho, hủ tiêu,
correct.
Banh
correct.
Can, all
correct.
Of that. So,
so
probably,
you
yeah.
get the simple ingredients, but then you convert them in so many different products because that's actually what make like a great dish, right?
Okay.
And now in Italy, actually the poor dish in the past, now it become very expensive. So you can buy a single dish like $40, you know,
yeah.
and in the past it was a dish for poor people.
Okay, okay. Tell me, if you have to name the top five most iconic dish of Italian food, what would that be?
One can be this one, Parma e Melon, because it's very popular for light and summer. We're gonna get...
very refreshing.
Very refreshing, yes, correct.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And what else?
Yeah. Then we're gonna have like something like caprese or burrata, because this one is also very popular. You know, this one is the burrata.
Burrata cheese, yes.
But exactly. So the difference between this one and caprese, because the burrata is more cream inside. So it's different process how they made.
Okay.
And while the caprese is just mozzarella and tomato, also the one very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, of course, we have pasta, lasagna. This one is kind of lasagna, it's very old tradition, you know. This one we don't even make it fancy. You see, all the other dish we put a lot of fancy touch. This one you don't touch it. You keep it like that. Lasagna,
like that.
Square, put in the place, that's it. You know, and you get like a good result.
Mm.
Pizza, of course.
Pizza.
Pizza,
exactly. That was what I was going to say. So. Vietnamese, when we think of Italian food, we might be thinking of like pasta, but most commonly people think pizza.
Yeah, correct, correct.
And since it's very common, a pizza is a dish that's very common all around the world, not just only Vietnam. So we have many style of doing.
Yeah,
of doing
like
pizza.
American pizza.
American pizza so that put a lot of cheese in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, tell me, what is your idea of a perfect pizza according to Italian chef that was born and raised in Italy?
Perfect pizza, you mean?
Yeah, perfect pizza.
Perfect pizza actually have to have very few ingredients.
Very
that's,
few ingredients.
That's what my opinion, because if you have like a great tomato sauce, if you have great flour and great mozzarella, the pizza is perfect.
It's
the queen, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's it, that one. Okay. Of course, I see many different cultures like using, here actually in TikTok, many people ask me about the pineapple one. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. That
to...
was I gonna ask, okay.
Go
ahead. Is pineapple supposed to go with pizza, yes or no?
Yeah, in Italy, you actually have to sign a paper when you go to the shop if you buy pineapple, because you have to declare I actually will not use for the pizza. It's a kind of it's a joke, but it's a serious thing, you know. I mean, people get very angry because they're very emotional.
Okay, so the Italian make sure that no pineapple goes on top of the pizza.
Absolutely.
So when we mentioned that like I said, like we all witnessed here, a lot of people put different things on top of the pizza. So what do you think about that trend?
Well, I mean, what do you mean for they put a lot
like
of things?
They put a lot of, so like you said, like pizza is supposed to keep it very simple.
Yeah.
The authenticity, you know, the,
yeah.
So like the American way, they put a lot of cheese on top. Here in Vietnam, some people, they put like nước mắm, you know, they put mắm ruốc on top of it, and they have many different way of combining different ingredients
that
somehow changed the traditional pizza.
Yeah,
what
correct,
do you think
correct.
About that?
Well, I mean, the traditional pizza is changed for so long time. And the moment you arrive to US and then moving from US to other country already changed the base.
Yeah.
But the point is, sometimes you have to be open-minded.
Yeah.
I'm agree about that, because, you know, having like different kind of style is actually what brings you to the future. Because, you know, maybe eventually you're going to find a good recipe that it works well together.
Yeah.
You know, for example, in this one, we using cashew nuts. You know, we don't use cashew nuts in Italy, but this one have truffle and cashew nuts.
Okay.
And if you see the combination together, it's pretty good. You know, I mean, so for some things you have to be open-minded, and, you know, for others maybe you have to take baby steps, you know,
see
like
steps.
If it worth it to really to change something really good.
Okay.
Like lasagna, you know what I mean? Don't change, cut, that's it, finish.
Okay, let's try some of the pizza. I'm excited.
Oh yeah.
Mmm.
How is it? You feel the truffle?
A bit of truffle, very nice. Yeah. Ooh, I love it.
And then there is the crunchy of the cashew nuts,
yeah.
You know?
Mm.
A little bit sweet. So it's a kind of mix. We don't have this one in Italy. This one we create here. And we try with the mixing with the cashew nut part that is very crunchy. With the honey a little bit and the truffle.
Mm.
I think the result is pretty interesting, actually. It's a kind of pizza that I like.
Italian cuisine is one of the most recognizable around the world. You know, along with the French, the French, Japanese, you know. Why do you think that so many people love Italian food?
I think it's something, I don't know, related to the look itself. The cheesy, you know, the kind of... In a way, it's recognized also for the media, because if you see many movies, actually they feature like Italian food, and then someone like moving with the sauce, you know, like cooking. So, and also because the taste, because actually Italian food is easy to eat.
Yeah.
I see here young Vietnamese, like even kids, you know, once they try the cheese part, when they try the pizza, I mean, they really love it, you know, and then they get used. Maybe the older people are a little bit... take more time, but for the youngster, in just one second, you know, they feel in love with the pasta and pizza.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons, maybe the quality of the food, because in Italy we have a lot of very high quality food, and it can be definitely one of the reasons.
So what do you think is the main ingredient that is important to Italian food? Is it the cheese?
Definitely cheese. Cheese is, you see, in everything here there is parmigiano, gorgonzola, mozzarella, you know. Cheese is all over, and regionally, every region in Italy have different cheese.
Okay.
So here, definitely people know cheese, but they know the famous one. They don't know the crazy cheese.
Exactly.
You know, like comparing with here, there are some cheese that I can compare to durian.
Oh.
For example, durian, I watch it.
You don't eat durian?
I eat durian, but I nearly die when
you
I
nearly
eat durian.
Die.
So, yeah, it was too intense experience. You know what I mean? And but they are the same. In Italy we have like a cheese called casumarzo that actually they have like a worm inside, you know, and people eat it.
Tell me more about the cheese culture in Italy. Do people like eat it as a snack, or do they just
as
put
everything.
It on? As everything.
Everything. Cheese, you can be like a starter, you know, just eating like a cheese board, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, a different cheese, and we have like the hard kind, the soft kind, you know, you can mix with honey, jam or things like that, or just eat like this in the bread. Then we can put in every our dish.
So do you see a man with a suit, you know, walking to his meeting in the morning with the cheese on his hand, just like
No. In the morning you don't eat salty, you know, I mean Italy you eat like cappuccino and cornetto, you know, that's
okay,
the
but
basic.
It's very common, cheese people can eat, enjoy it as a snack as well. They can bring the cheese to the park, you know, just enjoy the nice afternoon kind of
thing.
What do you think about the Italian food here in Vietnam?
Okay, I have to be honest, some places pretty good, and some pretty I'm kind of shocked, you know, so
shocked
like,
in what way?
In a way, like for example, in Italy, we eat like the pasta have to be al dente. Okay, al dente is me a little bit strong. And, you know, like if you give me a little bit overcooked pasta, I can understand because it's matching a little bit more the taste.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they are so overboiled, it looks like a porridge, you know, and the one I have no idea what I'm eating, you know, and the one is actually a little bit too extreme for me.
So we mentioned about how you feel about Italian food in Vietnam. Vietnamese Italian food in Vietnam, we know a couple of dishes. We know pizza, we know spaghetti. So what do you feel when people eat spaghetti with a piece of lettuce and cucumber, and then they eat it with ketchup and a little bit of like Vietnamese chili sauce? What do you think about that?
I feel a little bit heartbroken.
Heartbroken. But don't you think that when a foreign cuisine, when they come to a local, they gotta adapt somehow, you know, they gotta change this way somehow. Okay.
Adapting, yeah, definitely. Because when you go in a place, you know, and you live overseas, you have to be open that people have different tastes. So sometimes, and if you do business, of course, you have to think about it, because you cannot just open for pleasure, right? I mean, And the point is like there are some things that can go well together and okay. some others maybe they don't matching. Mm. So if you are someone with experience, you know, and it would be great actually if you put your, how can I say, your kind of fusion ideas into action, because maybe you will create something nice and new and great.
Yeah.
So yeah, in a way I'm open for it, but if you do professionally, I mean, okay. if you do just like put cash up everywhere, maybe not good idea. No.
Yeah. So how do you feel about fusion food in general, like the concept of fusion food, of mixing, you know, this cuisine to another kind of cuisine?
Yeah, well, it's been so popular everywhere, right? But in some places, like, they go very fast and then it just disappears.
Uh-huh.
Depends, because fusion food, it can be the future, because maybe, you know, we are living in a global world now, right? Mm. It's not like before, like people, like, there are mixed families and things like that. So eventually there are flavors that people will research inside some dish. And even for me, sometimes I'm craving for some Vietnamese food, even when I was in Italy, so I need to think, oh, how we can create the kind of feeling with the ingredients that I have, I don't have the same ingredients.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing, you know, in a way, but of course you have to respect the tradition. You know, there are some items you can keep, you know, and remember that it was adapted for a reason, because this one is connecting with your, let's say, ancestor. I see here in Vietnam, the people always go like for, you know, maybe they try many different food, but always go for what is the
child,
the authentic one.
Yeah.
Because here it's a feeling, it's not, eating is about emotion. Right,
exactly.
So they want to feel again like the grandmother connection, or maybe the family connection when they was kids, and that's how tradition can help you.
Okay, so do you eat fusion food? Are you for or against fusion food?
I cannot say I'm for and against.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. You know,
okay,
there are some things they like, but of course I still like also tradition. You know? So
okay,
yeah.
But so you would prefer if it been kept in the more traditional way, you know, just
In a way, yes, I can say.
Yeah.
But sometimes some touch of innovation is definitely nice. Mm. You know, it make more spicy.
A lot of people would argue that you need to put something new into the dish, because I mean, to me, food is forever changing. It's always changing.
Yeah, correct.
Right? So do you think that sometimes that this traditional authenticity, they should change? I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's say tradition cannot be stubborn, because some things cannot be stuck there forever.
Okay.
Of course, you know.
Okay.
I mean, there are some things that are very important. We do like this for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Let's say, let's keep doing like that. But time it change, like the habit of eating it change, the health issue it change. So definitely you have to be open for some potential change in the future.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you changed anything since you came to
this
Vietnam?
One, actually.
Okay. Oh, so tell me about your process of inventing
this
that.
One also.
Okay.
Like this one
that.
Actually, this one is a cappelletti. Okay, it's
okay.
Mean a little hat, and
little
we
hat.
Do with a pesto. The pesto usually in Italy is done with pine nuts, but I using walnuts in this one.
Okay.
Because when I was in Australia, you know, it was very hard to find pine nuts. So I started to creating this different pesto.
Mm.
And here in Vietnam, it is the same story. It's easy to find walnuts than pine nuts. So I make it, and actually it tastes really good. And I get even compliment from Italian people, you know, and they say, oh, very good pesto. Nice. Where do you find the pine nuts? Actually, it's walnuts.
You've been to Vietnam for quite some time. So you've been here for like 7 years. So.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you learn from the Vietnamese cuisine, from the Vietnamese cooking style?
Yeah, well, I mean, now I do some videos about food, and I starting like a learning journey process about Vietnamese food.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to try. Of course, I need to get some inspiration, but I like to try to cook some local food because I like it. I like Vietnamese food.
Good,
so
Vietnamese food?
I'm here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Is the time to learn to cook, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
so tell me, what have you changed so far since you come to Vietnam? Like, what? Because Italian food is quite a new here in Vietnam. Have you received any like weird requests? Like, let's say if a customer walk in and they order an espresso sort of thing, you know, in the middle of the day or something.
Yeah. Of course, it's happened a few times. But for example, now I'm more open-minded because I've been for many years out of Italy. When I was a kid, actually, I was working in a restaurant around 14 years old. I was just cleaning, you know, and be like a waiter. So when people have come and ask me, like, can I have a cappuccino? Like,
cappuccino,
at 2 p.m. for me was like, oh, no. And then we go with other waiters, say, oh, we can do this, something like that. Oh, it's crazy, these people. So, I mean, that's actually the process.
So why don't you like having a cappuccino at 2 p.m. for an Italian?
Actually, I don't know. Just because my family teach me, you know. Okay. I see my family do that, and I see everyone do that, and you are shocked if someone do that. So everyone was shocked.
Okay.
The point is, like, it's a cultural thing because Italians are hot blood, you know, hot temper.
Yeah.
And they are crazy for food, football, and women. That's the
same
that's
thing
the point.
Here in Vietnam.
Yeah,
same thing.
Similar, right? So that's why I feel like we are very similar.
Yeah.
And the point is, you know, when they have something like carbonara, for example, you know, you cannot touch it. You know, if you go to Rome, you say, oh, I'm gonna change the carbonara, I change the cheese, like, it's crazy. They're gonna attack you. People are gonna really get mad.
We're gonna kill you because of that.
Kind of. At least kidnap you. You know?
Or kidnap you.
Yeah, exactly. Until you change your mind on carbonara.
Okay.
Yeah. Overall, like this. So, Italian, very hot temper, hot blood, and very passionate.
They're very passionate about the food. Like, correct, specifically, correct. You know, like, food has to follow.
Very proud, I can
very
say.
Proud.
Very proud and very protective sometimes. You know?
Okay.
Sometimes even too much. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Well, I mean, everyone claims to have the best tiramisu ever. You know, even sometimes here, we have tiramisu, we have great tiramisu, right?
Yeah.
There are some Italian come and they always they say, you know what, your tiramisu is good, but my mom make the better tiramisu. Whatever, you know, it's always like that. Always someone claiming the best site and they're very proud of it.
Ah,
you know?
Okay, I see. What do you think about Vietnamese food and Italian food? Is there any similarity that you can see?
Well, I mean, we use a lot of, like, I see similarity on the way how we're eating, because Vietnamese like sharing, right? And in Italy we have the family. Now it changed because everyone have his own dish when you go
dish.
Restaurant. Mm-hmm. But with families home, you actually do the same concept. You do the, like, sharing Sunday lunch, you know, and we put a lot of things in the middle and everyone picking.
Yeah,
you know.
Like this.
Yeah, correct. So because big family in the south of, especially south of Italy, usually they have big family, right?
Okay.
And but about the ingredients itself, no, because we have the fact that we work like the material, you know, like you say, the rice, you know, you have million version of how can use the rice, and we have million version to use the, I don't know, the flour, the bread, the pizza.
Okay.
But in the real ingredients, no, because of course there are so much difference. Right?
Yeah. And is there any similarity in the cooking style between Italian and Vietnamese, do you think?
Well, we both use fire sometimes.
Everybody uses fire to cook.
Exactly. That's kind of similar. I mean, yeah, what can I say? Here you use mostly the wok. The wok pan, the different point of cooking. We use the flat pan.
Yeah.
You do a lot of grilling. In Italy, you do a lot of barbecue here, right?
Yeah.
You really like the street barbecue.
We like the charcoal grill.
Exactly. Also, we do, and but it's not the most popular in Italy, you know, because the one is always related to families. So there are not really much like barbecue restaurants. Maybe it's a good idea to open, you know, because people like barbecue. And that's it, you know. So
okay.
I think.
And then what is the major difference that you see between the two cuisine? In maybe in the way that they eat the meal, or maybe, you know, because in Vietnam we can eat rice every meal. That's an example,
right? Correct.
And let's
for
say
us,
do you eat pasta all the day? Can you do that?
Okay. Every day the God give us. You know? That's really like that. And sometimes even twice a day, you know.
Every
what I mean?
Day.
Because, you know, the pasta they think like you use rice, right?
Yeah.
The rice is like just a side. For us, pasta is the main courses with everything inside.
Mm.
So sometimes you have a lot of protein when you get, like, for example, with ragu pasta, or you get like the vegetable pasta. So we have so many different kind of pasta and so many different sauces. Actually, you can have a complete meal with just a dish of pasta. That's
okay.
why.
Okay.
Yeah. And
see.
When I was a kid, I eat pasta like non-stop. You know, I mean, it's like my family always cook, and I eat. I like it. You know, and then you get used to. Now I cream banana start to reduce because I have so many options, you know, and I like to experiment different food. Yeah.
Quick question, what type of Vietnamese dish have you tried so far, and then what, like, which dish you love the most?
I like so many different, like, Vietnamese, but my favorite, I have to be honest, is a bún chả.
Bún chả?
I don't know, I'm very in love with bún chả. I like the grill of the meat, you know, and then it's like between like a barbecue and soup, you know. I don't know. It's like it's a kind of very interesting feeling. And then they have the nem rán. What's the name they put
nembran,
inside?
Yeah.
The nem rán they put inside.
Yeah.
It's very nice dish actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I can eat that one quite often. I think I eat maybe once or twice a week.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So,
yeah. Have you thought about combining any Italian dish with Vietnamese dish?
Well, yesterday night I ate like rice paper with not Italian but with hummus, because I have hummus home and I put inside and I ate it. It was
how
great.
Did it work out?
It was good, man. I would put veggie and everything, you know, roasted veggie, chicken, like hummus, rice paper. I do like new version of Spring. Well, it was good, you know, I have to be honest. I was hungry and I have only that one in the fridge, so I put all together, you know. And it's working out.
Yeah. Have you thought about creating a dish that is a mix between Vietnamese and Italian that you would sell, that you think that you can make money out of that dish? Crazy imagination. Let's see. Let give me your craziest thought.
Okay, let me think about it, and then I'm gonna open. We share the profits. Okay.
Anything that you think that they can combine together? I don't know. Crazy.
Actually, one time we combined with a local chef when I was in Hoi An. We do this kind of pasta, and we combine with the Tao Lao sauce.
Tao Lao sauce, okay.
Yeah, you understand which one is in?
No, not really.
What's the name again? Tao Lao.
Gao Lao.
So yeah. We do this one with that one. It actually was great. Yeah.
Okay.
It is great. It tastes very fresh. It looks like a mix of pasta salad.
Yeah. I will eat that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty nice. And do you think that, so you say that the Italians are very proud of the food, and sometimes they on the extreme side.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit stubborn.
Yes.
Do you think that it create a significance that, you know, of the Italian cuisine, that, you know, all the Italians trying to protect their food so much,
that's what makes it,
do you think so?
Yeah, people are proud and people talking about it, you know, it's like, of course, it will make the food more, like, shiny, right? I mean, because you say, oh, wow, these people are so proud, it should be good, right? Yeah. But in a way also, like, sometimes it's become a little bit excessive because, too protective, you know, too protective. Sometimes you have to be open that there are other culture, other food and things so that you can experiment and learn. You know, in Italy, actually, here, if you go around, there is much more option than what you can find in Italy.
Okay.
If in Italy, 90% is Italian, like imagine only a few years ago, like they start in Japanese food, the other cuisine, but mostly is Italian. Now become popular also other cuisine, but my family before, they never tried something different that was from Italian food.
Why do you think the reason behind that?
I don't know, because people are proud, they cook home a lot, so they do what they know I can do, and the market, it was great for them. Now the thing changing, so maybe the money and the culture changing and everything changing, so people are more open-minded.
That sounds a little bit weird to me, because the reason why you say in Vietnam you can see a lot of different type of cuisine. You can see like Japanese, Thai, Korean, or
most
American,
in the big city, of course.
Yeah, most in the big city. But the reason is that Vietnam is become more global sort of thing. It's become more diverse.
But faster.
Oh, so Italy is not that?
No. Italy, like the economy of Italy was great during the 80s, 90s,
I mean,
70s, 80s, 90s.
Okay.
Then it started to slow down. But the point is, what's happening now to Vietnam is actually the same 80s, 90s to Italy, but at 10 times speed. We was like, in this district, maybe 4 or 5 foreign restaurants. Now we are 5,000, you know what I mean? That's the speed, you know, it's much, much faster.
What do you think is better? Like, the way that the Vietnamese, you know, is opening to a lot more different kind of cuisine, or do you prefer that the Italian keeping his food to himself sort of thing?
This is $1 million question.
That's why I'm asking you.
I don't have $1 million. So. No, the point is, I think this people open up for the market for the new kind of cuisine is good. And but as you say, like before, like baby step, you know, so it's mean like give the time to these two parts, like merging together. Don't go too extreme. Let's say don't just like, for please your customer, you just like destroy your cuisine. You know, so you have to be in the middle.
What you say is that doesn't sound too middle for me. Like what you say, just really, you're leaning towards more of a protective side. So
Kind of still protective, of course. You know, because I don't want to just like, okay, you like a different way, boom, I change everything, it's done. No, cannot.
So you're
like
still going to have that pride inside of you.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit more about yourself. You started doing a lot of videos online. So, most of those are like funny videos, or you try out different recipe.
Yeah, correct.
So why is that? I mean, aren't you a chef? Why are you doing videos online? So what got you started?
Entertainment. I mean, I like making video. I have to be honest.
Okay.
I like cameras. I like lighting system and everything. So
yeah.
I really enjoy that. And also I'm a chef, right? So
yeah.
I think okay, I have some free time, I wanna combine these things together. So I'll have passion for food and passion for making videos. So mm-hmm. I make video about food, right? It was the easy answer.
Yeah, that. Yeah. What kind of like, so you do a lot of cooking videos, so to speak. So
yeah, correct.
What is the difference between you cooking at home on a video and the
cooking type, for business?
Yeah, the type of food that you sell for business.
Yeah, well, business, you have to think as a business, you know, and you know, it's much more precise. Like when you work like for making for video, it's mostly about the look, experimenting, having fun, you know, and make people interested in what you try to do. Then maybe they can try home, right? I mean, you make simple recipe that everyone can do, and you're gonna be really interesting because people say, "Oh, let me try to do myself, you know, this one and cooking home." For business, of course, it's different because I want to remind you that I'm not only chef, I'm a business owner.
Really
chef.
Yeah.
They change because sometimes there are some chefs that just want to be super creative and they have no control of money, you know, and they just like do whatever they want. But when you also own a business, you have to think differently because you have to compromising. You say, I cannot put like, let's say, lobster on top of here because who gonna pay like a $2 million like pizza, right? I mean, same story. So
okay. Well, thank you, Federico. If
thank
there's
you so
something
much.
That I learned today, I learned that sometimes you gotta, even if when you open your arms, you know, for new things,
yeah.
you're still gonna have the pride inside you,
yeah,
you know, to
yeah.
keep the authenticity, the traditional of your food.
Correct.
All right.
And keep the pineapple home.
Keep the pineapple home. Thank you.
Thank you.